Okay, we're taping today is February 9th, and we are comparing the four sons as they appear in the Haggadah, the Mechilta, and the Yerushalmi, with a little note to the way that the questions appear in the Torah itself. And the questions are indeed consistent, but the answers are not. The only one who actually gets the answer that the Torah has for him is the one who doesn't ask a question. Right? The Sheino Yodei Lishol doesn't say anything, and the Torah just says, V'gadaz levin chavim olim arba v'zeh sashon and seh sin etzra. Right? I should say that the Tum also gets, he says, Mazos. The Torah's pasuk is the same answer he gets here. I should point out two discrepancies to what I just said from the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi plays a little havoc with the Chacham's question. Haggadah and in the Mechilta, the Chacham's question is Ma'aidos v'chutz v'shvatim asher tzva Hashem Elokeinu eschem, and the Haggadah, being the homiletic text that it is, right? So it's interesting what kind of lessons we can use to define the kind of kid he is. Yerushalmi takes the pasuk that appears in the Torah and changes the last word from Eschem to Osam. There's no reason to do such a thing if you're not trying to stay within the framework of the Haggadah's descriptions of these boys. The Chiddush that we had last class, if you recall, is that the Septuagint does it too. Right? If you look at the Tzara Meshivim, the Greek translation of the Torah, the word Osanu appears at the end of the pasuk, as if though there's something wrong with Eschem. There's nothing wrong with that. Do I have a Yerushalmi that castigates Yaakov for saying Ki Krashem Alokecha Lefanai? I have 100 psukim like that in Tanakh. Right? So it shows that the Haggadah already had an influence on the editors of the Septuagint. Otherwise, there's no reason to write Osanu. The Korban Ha'edah to the pasuk that appears in Yerushalmi, Korban Ha'edah is a commentary to Yerushalmi, says, look what a chacham he is. He knows himself to change the word to Osanu. Such a chacham. Of course, it's possible to draw a totally different conclusion, which I don't like to say here at Yeshiva University, which is that there was an alternate text of the pasuk. Right? But I don't see a reason to say it. I don't see nothing compelling. You can give there are more compelling places where you might want to change a text. Right? Okay. This is Maran Sota Daf Tet Zayin that says that when the Torah says to burn the Parah Aduma, right? What comes out of that in one pasuk is Ofa. Ayin Perish. So it's obvious. One Sota Daf Tet Zayin says, that's not what comes out of burning something. This is what comes out of burning something. Aver. Why is the Torah called it dust? The Gemara can say, all right, that's a mistake. Change it. But it doesn't. It works with it. I mean, there are places in the Torah where you might be compelled, you feel compelled to make a textual emendation. This isn't one of them. So when it says Osanu instead of Eschem, right? I think this is an important point to make in the development of the Haggadah. I think it's because someone was aware of something wrong with saying Mahavada Zoschem. So when this guy says Eschem, I gotta clean it up a little. Alright? Okay, we'll close the discussion on that. Let's move let's look at some of the differences between the Russia and all three other children. Okay, you have the chart in front of you. Okay, what's the first thing that flies out at you between Ki Yishalcha Bincha, Vayaki Amru Alechem, Vayaki Yishalcha Bincha, and the Igadata Levincha? Yeah, just from the statements I just made. Yes.
The one for the Russia is
in
plural.
Right. Russia is in plural. The other three are in singular. Right. What possible message can this mean? What can this be? Right, so there's a pedagogical point that can be made. You find some of what she's making in the Haggadah is that parents should not just bunch their kids into a big mold. You can't have your expectations for all your children that you expect all of them to make similarly. Every child has to be treated separately. Right? Chanoch l'naro bidarka. Rav Shimshon Frol Hirsch makes this point painfully clear on the pasuk Vayigdelu ha-ne'orim. Vayi Esav Yishev Be'etzayin Yishevdeh Yaakov Yishtam Yoshev Oholim. Remember the Rashi on that pasuk Vayigdelu ha-ne'orim. Rashi writes, until that day you couldn't tell Yaakov and Esav apart. And on this day he went in this direction, he went in that direction. But until Vayigdelu ha-ne'orim, they're total twins. So Rashi felt, it said, so, you know, that was his comment on the pasuk. Shimshon Frol Hirsch takes this comment and says, this medrash is meant to be a critique of the way these two twins were raised. You can't just say this is our family and we're gonna keep the twins all the same. I mean, that tends to happen with twins. You get them the two for one sale, and you get them, you know, the same and everything, right? And you be twins, right? So you have to raise each one of them separately and distinctly. If you raise Yaakov the same way you raise Esau, they're both going to mess up. You get something wrong. Right? So, again, Shimshon Frol Hirsch is making that same point. Look, if you have a chance to look at these, we're quite critical of this approach towards raising your children, of giving everyone the same treatment. Yes?
Is that point not fair enough by having four different approaches to addressing four different kids in the puzzle?
Quite so, and it's a concern that in the one where you treat them all, they're all in the same, put them in the same pot. Be careful, that's the one that's could end up the rush.
Interesting.
Right. If that point was made with another son, I'd have to either look for some kind of other. So the Haggadah lets him call him a rush, and it's quite harsh with him, as we're about to see. But, at least he's asking the question. Right? We're going to have to see when we get up to the fourth son, why are we so sure that he's she'eino yodea lish'ol? Right? Most Jews that live in my neighborhood are she'eino sho'el.
They don't
seem lish'ol. They don't care to ask. Maybe they don't know that, but whatever, they don't care to ask. There's a shun of a parish, you know. It's how are we so sure that he's not able to ask? We'll get to that. All right. So that's the first thing. He's in plural. What else? So another very more subtle difference is notice ki yishalcha bincha machar. V'yakim rolechem. I'm sorry. V'yakim yishalcha bincha machar. V'gadat al bincha bayom hahu. Right? What do you have to say of this machor, the bayomahu stuff? And by the Russia, it just says v'yakim ro lechem b'nechem mahavada azos lechem. It's not tied into any particular time. Are you following it? Right? It sounds like the others are plugged into a specific time related to Yitzias Mitzrayim. This son who's asking Mahavadaz Oslachem is he's always behaving this way. They expect him to behave this way in Pesach. Because he behaves this way in Sukkot too. Right? But he shows up, he's there at the table. Right? Okay, then the Vilna Gaon points this out, that it's not tied into any Machor Bayomahu. But let's concentrate on the actual words itself. Ma ha'avodah hazos lochem. For the Haggadah, it's obvious that the problem is lochem, right? How do I know? Because it goes right in. Lochem v'lo lo. Correct? But I think the Haggadah is also concentrating on something else. It says, Ulufisho tzi et atzmo min haklal, kofar b'ikar. You'll excuse me, I have to darshan here. What does this mean? Ulufisho tzi et atzmo min haklal, kofar b'ikar? Really? That's a kfira? He's a heretic? Where is this heresy? By saying Muhammad does also that. I don't mind expounding.
No. He says la femme. That's the problem. He says la femme.
I understand. But besides the point that the Chacham also says eschem. But okay, so we don't see it that's from the cloud. How does that make you a kofar b'ikar? Halachically, you're only a kofar b'ikar, but with one act, like Gemara says, until Shabbos, and the vote is over. Since when does not considering yourself part of the klal of Yetzias Mitzrayim a kofar b'ikar? Right? He showed up to the meal. If he really felt like a kofar b'ikar, he'd be out getting a tattoo someplace. You ever see the film Devil's Arithmetic? Can you hear it?
I read the book.
Yeah, okay. It starts off that she's getting a tattoo, right? And then she's in a tattoo parlor. And then she remembers that she's supposed to go to a Seder. She's drunk at the Seder, she has a dream, and the dream ends as they're tattooing the number on her arm,
grade
concentration camp.
Yeah.
Right?
That's much more graphic than like the third grade novel that I read.
Yeah, okay, well, it's a movie with.
Yeah, okay.
So,
changed it up.
Yeah, so she's. Actually, the very end is when she's being marched right into the guest chamber.
Yep.
And then she wakes up, and she realizes it's like Wizard of Oz kind of dreams.
Yes.
Tipsy, which she waits to let her open the door. The whole thing lasts 3 seconds, but she has a whole dream about the Holocaust in between, and then she's seen Chagad.
But she's opening the door for Eliyahu.
Right. The genius of the film is the tattoo part of her. She's about to get a tattoo, and she realizes, she wakes up, she's getting a tattoo.
That's on top of the book. And the book is just
getting a number.
Disgruntled 11-year-old girl.
Oh, in the movie, she's like 17, 18. Anyway, so this guy is showing up. He's there at the table, right? Here is my drash. Anybody learning Daf Yomi? This is Pesach Sunday's Daf Yomi. It's a very famous Gemara that we learn on Tisha B'Av about Titus entering the Kodesh Kodashim with a zoma, and he takes a sword and. Slices the parochus when it's not sprinkling the blood, and this is that the blood spurted out of the parochus. And what does it say in the Gemara? Do you remember Lashon?
He thinks he killed it.
Hashav Sheharag Edasmo.
Right.
No, it's a euphemism. He doesn't want to say the word Hashav Shalom in the Gemara. Harag Edasmo. So it says Hashav Sheharag Edasmo. So here is the drash of the Haggadah. He doesn't want to say it outright because we don't want to really. Hit the rush of the eyes. Ulufisha will see at that small min haklal. How is he will see at that small min haklal? By doing what? In comparison to the chacham. Remember, he's smart enough. He's a cynic is also smart. A cynic has to be wit. He has to have a wit. He has to be sharp. Otherwise, what's your cynicism? So, a cynic has to be able to compare it. So. What is it? How is he behotzi at that moment of call? Just look at the Chacham's question, which is one of the answers you gave me last class, of why is what blunts the eschem. At least this Rosh has said in the middle of his question, read it.
Rosh has said,
No, you're reading the Rosh, you're reading the Chacham's question.
Right, you told me, okay. Ma'adot be'alukim ha'mishpikim ha'shem tzivah ha'shem
ha'kenu. Ha'shem tzivah ha'shem ha'kenu. Right? He put God in there. By the other question, he says Mazos doesn't ever get that far. But when he says Mahabad Hazos Lachem, if you get it, Lafisha would see it like small min haklal.
Oh ha.
Okay, you get it? He doesn't think that this is coming from God. Alright? It's a clear beaker to mock what's going on. You know, I know lots of people who say, I'll do what God wants of me. It's just that I don't believe that this is what God wants of me. Right? Ayat says it. No,
but that small here is not a euphemism, right? In the context of the Russia, that small is not.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right. It's not.
It means God. He kept God out of it. Yes.
Okay.
Because the Chacham mentions Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu, and he did by just saying Ma'avodah Zarah Lachem. He's saying, come on, this is either because he doubts that Shmos chapter 10, 11, and 12 is divine, or because he doesn't think that this is what God really wants of us anymore. Okay, when we were in Egypt, we had to do these. Who needs this today? Right? Which, by the way, Aaron Lichtenstein Zal, just about a few years ago, he gave a talk in Youth Center about this. He made a deal. Maha Abadah Hazos Lochem. Not Lochem, Hazos, implying that, you see, this is the way you want to commemorate the Yetzias Mitzrayim. I have my way. I want my independence. I want my autonomy in how I determine this. Didn't we talk about Korach last class? Yeah. Blue, red, right, as a result of this. Right? So he concentrates on Zos. And also, the majority of the commentaries concentrate on the word Avodah. Jim, it's a labor. It's Avodah. It's hard work. Mitzvah is not touching him. Okay? All right, so that's it. So now let's get further with his answer. The af atoh hakeish shinov ve'emor lo. Here's some aforeshim say the word af is, you have to show some anger to him. Right? But I think, you see the word af introduces our answer to the Chacham as well as to the Rasha in the Haggadah? Give me the pshat. What's the pshat of that? The af is short for the word va'afilu, right? So what's it saying? It's saying a very, very simple message, and I think the fact that it's in these two, not in the last two, I sort of gave the hint at the beginning of class. Af means, of course you should tell him the Torah's answer, right? Va'afilu, tell him this also. Why didn't it have to say the word off by the number 3 and 4? Because in those two, the HaKadosh's answer is the Torah's answer. Look, I want to love for you. Okay? The HaKadosh means to say, of course you should give the Torah's answer to these guys. Alright? By the way, that shows, if you're reading it this way, that Avodim HaYidu Power of Mitzrayim, it means, after the Manishtanos, that's what we started saying. That's why we want Avodim HaYidu right there. That's the Torah's answer to the Chacham. Once your kids start asking Manishtanos, they're all there. Make sure you raise them that way. They're coming to the table and they're asking Manishtanos, they're already a Chacham.
That means you only answer the Chacham, but you're saying it that.
Okay, yeah. I want to raise all my kids to be Chachamim. I understand what I said before. Don't make the mistake of, of creating an unrealistic expectation. But that's right, we're giving the kid the answer. Okay, you hear it? Everybody gets the Torah's answer. That's obvious. But for these two, because their answer in the Haggadah is not the Torah's answer, per se, on the spot. This long-winded smack in the face to this pushback to this Russia, right? And it says, "Af ato hakehe es shinov ve'emorlo." What is this? What is this hakehe es shinov? Are you familiar with all of the amazing drushes that are in this? There's some really amazing Gematrias, you ever see the Gematrias on this? That the difference between the word Tzadik and Russia is the word Shinov, and Akhayat Shinov, take away his shin, right? Take away his shin.
The difference in the numerical between Tzadik and Russia
is
Shinov?
Yeah, the difference between the numerical value of Russia and Tzadik is exactly Shinov. In other words, show him how close he is to be a tzaddik. I just tell you, there's 10 or 15 such more creative drushes than others, each one of them. But I think the pshat of the af atoha kehe es shinov ve'emorlo, we always have to give it, and I don't mind if my pshat is a deep pshat. Where does this come from? What do the words mean? What does it mean, hakehe es shinov? Where's the first time we see this terminology? So what should you do to, in order to find that? Google it, see if it's a Tanakh. It's a Tanakh phrase. It appears in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. And if we look up at Tanakh, the way the phrase appears, we can possibly apply it to what the Haggadah wants us to tell the Rosh. Right? And here it is. In the Pshat, it probably means something like shut his mouth, shut his teeth. Don't let him talk more. Because the more he talks at the table, the more he's going to ruin it for everybody else. I must tell you, when I was growing up, we always had kofrim at our table. I'm talking real kofrim.
Why would you have
kofrim? It was a kibbutz opportunity. We always had, you know, some in the family, some friends. We always had people who were there from that was neglach, more than anything else. With the brachos. Right?
What's good brachos?
You cook your mizonos products in water. Right? So the fear is that the matzah wasn't baked properly. If it goes into especially hot water, they become hummus.
But Sfarim don't have.
Alright, so you know, we sort of had an agreement. Come to our table, we'll have discussions, but don't get it out of here. Don't start to tell us that what we're doing is nonsense and it's all about the kodesh and they love it. Just let's have a conversation. You often have, you know, lively debates, colorful debates. But just tell them in advance. Have discretion about the way you talk. Alright? Okay, but that I don't make it from Shaki. This is how this terminology appears in Sefer Yechezkel and in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Okay? In Sefer Yirmiyahu it appears in chapter 31. In Sefer Yechezkel it appears in chapter 18. Here's what it is. They both say, in that day,
and you go to the Sefer Makos, it's a big Gemara at the end of the Sefer Makos.
In that day, you will no longer say, look, take a look in the Yom Lamed Aleph, I would say it's about, said, in that day, you will no longer say, Avos Achu Boser, V'shinei Bonim Tikhena. Right?
You're quoting the Pasuk, you're saying?
Yes, it's big. Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed. B'yamim ahim lo yamru od. I just quote the exact verse. Lo yamru od avos achlu boser v'shinei bonim tikena. You will no longer say in the future that parents eat rotten grapes and the teeth of their children rot. What is another way the Torah says that? In last week's parsha. What does it mean that your parents eat rotten grapes, but the teeth of the children rot? Can you tell me for that? What does the Torah say? Pokida von avot al banim. If you eat rotten grapes, your own teeth should rot. Why should your children's teeth rot? Because you ate rotten grapes.
Right?
So Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel use it as like it's a type of a metaphor, right? He's being poetic. So what does it mean, Hakeya Shinov? Let his teeth rot? What does that mean?
So he can't, you know, attack you, I guess, so to speak?
Hakeya Shinov, I would like to suggest, is that if this is the way the kid appears at the table, that the parents have to look at the rotten grapes that may have caused this. All right, everything is mazel. No question that. What is the part of Pasuk Tehillim to compare children? It says it's like an arrow in the hands of the gibor. So because the closer you hold it to your heart,
where is
that? The more likely it'll go to its intended target. But once you let go of the arrow, which of course we have to do at some point, I must tell you, I have the biggest phobias when I take my kids driving. I don't know why. I can handle everything, but somehow when I get the car with them, and I flip them all to drive. Not all three, you know, the drivers, but three of them are. But the younger ones, I'm trying to see now, and I just get so nervous. I don't know why. It's, I can't get it out of my system. I'm sure they're good enough to drive, but I get to something. I don't know. Maybe some pathology. Whatever it is. But at some point, you got to let go. Right? And they're on their own. Okay, so how can she know? I think there's a retrospective to the parents, because the way this pasuk appears in Tanakh, it's too unusual. How can she know? Don't you think? Right? It's just too unusual a terminology. I use it to because it's talking about a child that's not meeting his parents' expectations, and it's used twice in Tanakh in the context of the teeth of children rotting because their parents ate bad grapes. What's your immediate reaction to such a thing happening? Which apparently people were saying then, but they shouldn't say anymore from now on. You know the Gemara Makos I'm referring to? From the end of Makos? Gemara says that Moshe made three philosophical statements and later the Vayim changed them. Moshe said, Pokei lavo mavos al banim. And comes Yiriyahu and said, Yecheskel, and said, nah, only the people who eat the rotten grapes, their teeth will rot themselves. Of course, you can ask, what are you talking about? In the Torah, it also says, Ish becheto yumasu. Right? You say, the Vashem Parshayas, son of Gemara. Moshe himself said the same point. Ish becheto yumasu means everyone's teeth rots for what they themselves eat. Right? So the Marsha answers that Moshe's pasuk is talking about where the children change the ways. They don't act like their parents. Parents were bad, the children are children. So the children are on their own pleasure. They're not functioning for the parents. But if the parents are bad, the children are bad, the children will get their own and the parents. Comes Teftali W. C. Hoffman in his commentary to the Torah says there's an obvious better answer to this than this. When the Torah says everyone dies for their own sins, we're talking about the court of law. Why do I have to be told that? Because in the code of Hammurabi and other ancient codes, it was vicarious punishment. If I kill my neighbor's son, my son gets killed. Basically, huh? People punish A for the sins of B all the time in ancient law. In court! Right? So the Torah says, in court, ish v'chato yumasu. In God's court, he does what he wants. No question about that. In God's court, someone today can be punished for something his ancestors did 500 years ago. That's God's business. I don't know that judgment. And I'm not going to question that judgment. So comes Yiriyahu to say, you know what? That's not going to happen anymore. Not even in God's court.
So who's Yiriyahu to say that, though?
It's not a kiddush. Gosh, that's what the Marmakas is saying. The Marsha applied to the Gemara Makos based on the theory of Don Tzvi Hoffman has a whole different approach to what's going on here. But here's what I'm suggesting to you. That since the terminology, which obviously was not so well known, it's mentioned twice in Tanakh, is used in the connection of teeth of children as a result of what their parents were doing, I think it's the Haggadah's way of saying, don't dismiss this kid as a Rosha out and out. Look at what you're doing. Right? Kids don't wake up one day and say, hi, I'm glad to be a Russian today. Right? Okay, don't be judgmental about what he's doing. Hakeya Shinov means cleanse his teeth. Look at what you're doing. Look at the rotten grapes that you might have eaten before you judge. Okay? Look, I don't chas v'shalom. Everything is, the Gemara in Moed Kotendak, Chavches says, chayim is only beneath only the mask. And how long you live, how much you earn, and how the children come out. And the Gemara goes and gives examples. Rav Chisda did this, Rabbi did this, and he did this, and he did this, and his kids came to this, and he gives the whole bunch of examples for all three of these. Wealth, year, lifespan, and children. Okay, but that's my suggestion. Afa to Akeich, you know, none of these Gematria stuff between Tzadik and Russia, it's meant to be introspective. Show him love. Tell him he's part of something. It's you. You're in this. And the reason why the Rasha gets an answer that's not his. By the way, can you look at the Torah's answer to the Rasha and tell me a huge chiddush of what the Haggadah does with this answer? Look at the Torah's answer to the Rasha. And based on the way I read, Af means the Haggadah of course wants you to give this answer. And in addition, tell him this. What's Va'amartem Zevach Pesach Ula Shem Asher Pasach Avatim? Where is that? Does it sound familiar? Where does that appear in the Haggadah? It's a Maggid. No. You're talking about Va'amartem Zevach Pesach. That's the things that happened the first night at midnight, and the second one, things that happened in Pesach. But that's a drash of this. Where do these exact words appear in Maggid? Come on. V'amartem zevach pesach hu l'Hashem asher pasach abatei b'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim b'Gevurah. Exactly. Yes. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosh Edvar Meilu Yotzei Yedei Chuvah. It's a Mishnah, Daf Kuf Tezayin. So the Rosh's answer in the Torah, it's doing like what we did with Avotim Ha'inu with Chacham. Tell us straight. This is what Pesach is. We talked about this, I think, in the first class. Called Shalom Amar Shalosh Edvarim Eilu. Remember when?
Yeah.
Right. So it's not Yotze, it's Sipur Yitzchias Mitzrayim. Not in these three mitzvahs. It's Sipur Yitzchias Mitzrayim. You don't need to know the Tav of the mitzvah to know the Yotze of the mitzvah. You don't pass it in that way on any mitzvah. Right. So look at what the answer that the Torah gives the Rasha is the Haggadah's answer later. Pesach Shusha Yochlin. We say Shusha Yochlin. We're saying Yochlin, but Pesach Shusha Yochlin al Shuma is the Rasha's answer. So why does the Haggadah change it to the Shener De Elisho's answer? Because we want to have in it the word Li. Okay, I'm going to skip the tongue for a second. Look at the Shener De Elisho. What word is being stressed for him? What word is being stressed for the Shener De Elisho? Cairo French, you can have the riddle, honey. And the Prad. Maybe the Pahad. I'll take the rest of it. You ever hear of Daniel Sperber's book called Minhagei Yisrael? He has a piece on different Haggadahs with the pictures of the four kids. It's like a whole 20 or 30 different. I found a Haggadah that had a Rasha as a kid playing basketball with it. His tzitzis is flying all around the place. He's playing basketball.
He's wearing tzitzis.
He's playing basketball. He should be out in the air and the Spanish, right? Anyway, some of these Haggadahs may have pictures in them of the four sons.
Here,
yeah. Yeah. Most of these old ones all have pictures.
Ooh, Russia's got some weird, cool, flowery, feathery things going on.
Yeah, the same one.
Yeah,
Russia's got
very
war.
Yeah.
Swords on the war.
Russia was always with a sword.
Why? What?
You was just
sorry. Yeah, swords and fire fighting in the
battle. What's the purpose of a Russia going to
war? He's doing battle with us. They all have a sword. Look at that, the whole box.
Can't you be a Chacham and dress relevantly dressed with them?
That is like the medieval period that you have a good
reaction. Come on, look at the Chacham and the Tom in every picture. And you'll see that. Anyway, so Shener De Elisho is getting the same answer, but what answer is being stressed for him? The answer to that is in the next paragraph. You see it? Maybe we should start to tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim Rosh Chodesh. Why would I think so? Because the story starts over. Yemet Ve'er Shem HaMoshe Galaranim. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim Yishinu Lachem Lachodshei Hashana. So maybe we should start from Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Lomar Vayom Ha'hu.
Yes.
Yigad Vavincha Vayom Ha'hu. Yigad Vavincha Vayom Ha'hu.
Wait,
just start
saying this
is
part of the...
Yigad Vayom Ha'hu. If it says Yigad Vavincha Vayom Ha'hu, because with the word Yom, we discussed this on one of the first classes, the Yom Laila, the Laila Hazed, the night behaves like a day, right? Yigad Vayom Ha'hu, Yachom Yibah podium. Maybe you should tell the story during the day, or the next day, perhaps. Talmud Lomar, Babuzeh lo amarti el b'shom sheish matzah mor b'nachum b'chunach. Show them. Make pictures. Why is it that I used to take my 7th grade to a ball game, and 3 weeks later I asked them every little prop and club that happened in the game, and they remember it all.
Yeah.
So how come you can't remember something I said about Shmuel Ben a half hour ago? Right? So it's a question of can we make everything that put the Zen is Zen? in Zekai. Into all of the teaching.
This is pointing at Rebbe's definition of the word "tenu yourself drawn," meaning somebody who's distant, you bring it forward.
Bring it in, bring it out. Educe education. Educe the information with the Zed. All right. So that's why we're giving the two of them the same question. By the way, in the paragraph that introduces the four sons, Baruch Hamakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem Santolam, Yisrael Baruch Hu, right? So there too, the Mefarshim say that these four Baruchs are meant to plug into the four different sons, and the Baruch Hu is the Rasha, and the Baruch Hu is the Shnadilisho, but it's just God is just an impersonal, not a personal connection that they're making, and that the Shnadilisho is very close to being a Rasha, but that's just human nature, because Yisrael Ba'adam Rami Nu Rav. It's a lot easier to become a Rasha than to become a Tzaddik. And the it's interesting, is the Marashah, the end of Makos, right before the Gemara I just mentioned with the three philosophical changes. It's a very famous Gemara that talks about the 613 mitzvahs, and that there are 365 negative commands, 248 positive commands, one for every limb of the body, one for every day of the year. And there's a Gemara in Eruvim that says that one time in the Beis Medrash, they had an argument over whether it's better to be born or not to be born. And it says Nimnu v'gomru, which seems to mean in the Gemara they took a vote. And how did it, what fell? How did it fall? Better not to be born. But since we're here, let's make the best of it. So the Marashah says, no, you're not understanding this Gemara. Nimnu v'gomru doesn't mean they took a vote. Everybody who thinks it's better not to be born, raise your hand. Nimnu v'gomru means they counted the mitzvahs of the Torah, and they saw something extraordinary about the mitzvahs, about the ratio of the Torah of the mitzvahs asay to mitzvahs lo asay. After all, the Gemara at the end of Yuma says that mitzvahs asay inculcate love of God. Mitzvahs asay just make us afraid of God. And the love of God is much greater. So why, if you're going to give me, you have to give me, for whatever reason, 613 mitzvahs, give me 580 mitzvahs asay, and give me some real good, tight los asays to inculcate fear. What do you have to have? 63% los asay and 37% asay. It's a landslide. Why that's Nimnu v'gomru means they looked at the mitzvahs in the Torah and they noticed that there are so many more los asays than asays. And that's what made them determine that it's better not to be born. What's the shot? Because you can live an entire life of discretion and integrity, and one stupid thing you do, you're on the front page of the paper, you're finished. Now, for some people, it goes over time. It goes and do me for a long time. They just get caught, right? But you just do one stupid thing, it can undo the whole. And even if they find out that it wasn't exactly what they reported, it a lot worse. Then the correction's on page 37, and everyone forgot that. You can. There's so many ways to destroy a reputation, but it takes you a lifetime to build up a reputation. In other words, it's a lot easier for the Sheinoi De'Elisho to become a Rasha. The Horayim. Here we enter the land of Canaan. It says in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, there's some people that stayed behind. Wouldn't you think that the vast majority of Torah true Jews who stayed already in Canaan should influence those Canaanites? No. They influenced us. We'd say for Shoftim. It was a lot easier for them to influence us than for us to influence them. Right? I once heard this in the Drash from the Chofetz Chaim. He says, have you heard the Drash that Esau is rushing to get out? to get to his Abu Ghazar, and Yaakov is rushing out to get to his base Medrash, right? No.
Yeah.
Or that Yaakov was I'm not gonna, it's a little complicated. All right, but the point is that the Sheinoi D'Elishol is so close to moving in the direction of the Russia that we are giving them both the same answer, but we want to stress a different word for the answer. For the Russia, it's Li. For the Sheinoi D'Elishol, it's Zeh. All right. Let's just finish off with the Tum. This is an interesting exercise. If you would open the concordance and see how many times in the Torah, in the Tanakh, it says the words Mazos. I wrote it down in my Haggadah, and it's 13 times the word Mazos appears in Tanakh.
By itself,
and only once it appears by itself. Every other time there is a root of one particular Hebrew word that appears after the words Mazos, and that is Mazos Osisa. Mazos Osisa, Mazos Tase, Mazos Osisa. Wherever it is, Mazos. It's always, what have you done? Right? But here it's Mazos. So, because in my Haggadah, I posit that the Tum is not simple at all. It's very complicated. It's pure. Right? Like we're being Tum, Yaakovish Tum. And I found a pasuk in Eov where it's, it contrasts the Rosh and Tum, the same pasuk. So that he is pure. He is like Yiras Hashem Tahora Omedes La'ach. He's encompassing, and that the question Mazos is actually a very complicated philosophical question, which is God, why did you have to start our history with this whole thing? Mazos. He holds his hands up and he says, Bon Shalom. You have it's your world. Mazos. Why can't you just have Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and start your system of having a small chosen people who will receive your divine word and spread 7 minutes of B'nai Noach to the whole world and get the world to move away from Gezel to towards Mishpat. I'm showing you. What do we have to do this for first? What's it all about? Okay, it's a deep question. What's the answer we give to this kid? So I think the Yerushalmi got a piece of this. She says, although Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi, the answer to the Tibesh is Ema Tirna Kar Pesach HaFikoma. Right? It says, Av Ato Lamdo Hilchos HaPesach She'ema Tirna Kar Pesach HaFikoma She'lo Yehiyo Meid Mechabura Zu V'nichnis Lechabura Acheres. This rendition of the Yerushalmi's response is helps us with the Girsa of the Ritva I mentioned when it says Afat Emorlo Kol Hilchos HaPesach. It should be Kol Hilchos HaPesach, not Ki Hilchos HaPesach. Okay, so what is Chozek Yod Hotzion or Hashem Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim? What kind of answer is that to this? Mazos, why did you make all this happen? The answer is, because if it hadn't happened, you wouldn't have accepted the Torah. The Chozi Gadol Sen Hashem Yisrael Kiv is meant to get you ready for no Hashem Lekecha Asher Tzitzah Yisrael Kiv. Okay? Okay. Okay. In other words, there are other answers in Chazal. This Gemara Bava Metzia that says that the exile in Egypt was meant to inculcate in within us a sense of this the plight of the stranger. The most commonly repeated mitzvah in the Torah is the 36 times. Avta Nesagia is mentioned in the Torah. Okay, so this way you remember what it felt like. Right, so Jews are good at that. Jews are good at promulgating liberty and crossing drawer of the Chol Yosher. I mean, we weren't. That's a historical question. The Jews tend to side with the underdog. I don't know. Jews tended to side with the status quo. Right? The underdog side, I think, starts with the civil rights movement. I'm not so sure. Jews distinguish themselves in slavery. Like Presbyterians, and some who spoke this way, some who spoke that way. I don't know. I'll leave that to historians. But it does seem that the movements, the liberating movements, even if there's no God in the movement, like communism, the Jews always got involved with movements that were meant to free the worker from the misuse and you know, labor union, things like this. I don't mean to say that it was the Jew in him that made it right. That there's just something that they're raised with from their earliest days that even if it's not a particularly Jewish sense, I don't think he practiced any kind of Judaism. I think his family may have converted already by the time he was raised. But be that as it may, I think that's another explanation of what this book called Mazos. What is all that about? Why did you start us off this? Right? Okay, that's all we're going to do with the four sons. Next class, I want to do the four cups. Okay, four cups, halacha, agada, history. I think I gave this out to you last class. Do you have it? Yeah. So please make sure to bring this to the next class. All right, on your syllabus, this is number 5. All right, we'll discuss, of course, mainly what do we have, four cups or five cups? What are the four mitzvahs, the five mitzvahs? We'll have Kos Eliyahu get in there. And I would like to skip to 13 at the same time. I'm going to do 5 and 13. What's happening with Shulchan Masa? What is it that? Right? And on that, we're going to check out this box. I'm going to pass it around because different Haggadahs of antiquity have different services in Shulchan Masa. Here's quite some of them are quite good.
You don't have any authentic stuff? Like you said, you don't have any antique ones, 1800s?
I have some, but I'm going to bring them into...